This is a podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio.
Hi, my name's Anne Harrod and I'm 21 years old and I'm currently studying geography at Durham. And I have ocular albinism and nystagmus. I took part in an internship at Lenny Cheshire Disability, working in their international department.
So that was one of the Change 100 internships. What was the job that you had involved in?
I had to work on project briefs, update their website, and conduct a piece of research with fellow Change 100 interns, particularly looking at increasing youth engagement within Lenny Cheshire Disability.
Do you think your sight loss impacted how you were working in the role you had over the summer at all?
I don't think having a visual impairment affected how I worked because I undertook the internship through the Change 100 programme. I was offered the opportunity to explain to my employer before arriving about any additional requirements I may have and computer magnifiers and screen readers were already put in place before I arrived.
All those things that you just described are kind of aspects of the access to work scheme that the government funds. Have you ever had the kind of experience that you had over this summer when it's come to applying for jobs and the kind of understanding you've had from employers?
I've always found when sort of applying for internships and as I'm doing now, applying for jobs, it can be a frustrating process, particularly the multiple online testings a lot of organisations have. Goodness knows how I'd managed to complete the test within the given time and also access it using a screen reader or any magnification. But I suppose through the Change 100, now I would contact an employer and just explain to them the circumstances.
It is all well and good saying that, you know, there are certain things that you can do to make your application on a level playing field. But do you think more needs to be done to help young disabled people looking for employment? For example, if there was some kind of incentive that the government made to employers to look and take more time to hire maybe someone that has sight loss or another kind of disability.
I do feel like more should be done to help young disabled people find work. I don't feel that it should be the businesses and organisations that should be given incentives for employing disabled people, because I think this could be undermining of disabled people and really ignorant of the skills and abilities disabled people can bring to the workforce.
Another thing is that obviously you're still at university, so probably in your third year now, a lot of what your lecturers and different careers advice people will be talking to everyone about is what you do after university and how you apply for those jobs. A big part of Change 100 is giving the advice to prospective employees about when you disclose a disability or how you breach that subject with a prospective employer. Does your university have similar bits of advice for you, or is that something that you have to go and seek yourself from charities and companies, like through initiatives like Change 100?
No, not at all. I suppose the employment and careers advice operate completely separate to disability support at my university. And so I have never been given any advice on disclosing a disability. Change 100 was my first actual insight into how to disclose a disability.
Change 100 is a paid internship with major companies around the country for 18 to 24 year olds, usually who are undergraduates. Sometimes they're graduates, like they've just finished university. And it's specifically for disabled students. And we've chosen to do this in order to sort of make a bridge between your undergraduate life and your working life. We have really amazing employers. We have Tate Gallery, we have Wall to Wall Productions, we have Science and Technology. We have quite a few employers in Glasgow, actually. It's not just a specific type of skill. So what happens is students apply to us. We vet them, we go through an application process, which is not onerous. It's more just to see what you're good at and what you would be good at. And then we suggest which students go to which companies and in which roles. And the bridge is we tell the companies that the students are disabled, and we try and help make any kind of reasonable adjustments that are necessary for someone, if they're visually impaired, if they've got hard of hearing, or sometimes people need just a bigger desk or something. I mean, it really can be very simple things.
So why was it set up in the first place?
There is a huge gap in the disability employment market. Over half of disabled people are unemployed. And one of the problems we found is not that disabled people don't want to work, it's that employers don't know how to help or support people who want to go into work. And often it's because they're scared. So we started this in 2014 and as a sort of pilot, and it was so successful. We did another one this year and next year, and basically we're expanding as I speak.
And one of the things you mentioned a moment ago was about you mention disability. You're the people that go to the employer and mention that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I know a lot of young people do worry about is what the best time is to breach the subject of their disability. What kind of advice do you offer to people about that?
I think the first thing we say is you must do what you're comfortable with, so that we don't have a firm rule, do or don't disclose, because it's unfair. Each person has a different relationship to disability, as do employers. Second thing is, if you choose to disclose, which is often very helpful, it means that your employer really has to take on board what you need. And it can be, as I said earlier, something as small as a bigger screen or Zoom text, which is, for example, what I use because I'm visually impaired. Or it can be having access to work, which is a scheme run by the government. It's just a way of giving people, I like to say a bridge, actually. A bridge is a good word because it doesn't, you know, we are not going to give you a job out of the blue, and the employers are not going to give you a job simply because you're disabled. But what both sides need to understand is that you need to talk and communicate and find out what's right for the right person.
You mentioned access to work there, and yeah. One of the things that we often talk about on Insight is whether employers really know that much about it and whether they're really aware of it. Is that another one of the reasons you set up Change 100 and it was started?
We didn't start it in reaction to or against access to work. If anything, it's something that goes with you. But it is true that employers don't know about it, and the government are only just beginning to sort of advertise it a bit more and get it out there in the right places. Because it's not just big corporations that, you know, Barclays and Lloyds or the BBC. It's small individual companies that could do small things and they can apply for grants. There are not enough employers know about it. So the more we get the word out, the better it is.
When you were having those initial conversations with these large companies, did they know much about it then, or have you been part of that education process for them, do you think?
It's both, actually. Some were amazing and just knew, in fact, had their own schemes but didn't know how to reach the right group of people. So they wanted more disabled students, but they didn't know how to find them, reach them, and we did that. We were the bridge. But other companies didn't know, and in fact, we were instrumental in helping them. I think what I really liked about Change 100, it's not about making someone feel special or different or, you know, sort of like, oh, we'll get them on a special scheme. It's really about giving someone work experience when they've got skills and talents to offer. It's not about being disabled. It's actually about working, knowing what it's like to work in an office, work with other people, and also, I think, learning how to handle other people with your disability, whether you disclose or not. We want to give people the confidence to choose. There's neither yes or no, you have to disclose. It's really a question of what is it that you feel comfortable with and what you need to perform the best you can, because these people are so, you know, some of these students are so talented. It's amazing. I'm always so impressed. I was like, I wish, and I have visual impairments myself, and I really wish I had had this when I was younger, because I just sort of struggled and I faked it. That's the other thing, is I think quite a lot of the students said the same thing, which is you go and apply for jobs and you fake it, that you can really do everything that everyone else can do. And it's exhausting. And I think what's great about Change 100 is it doesn't tell you not to fake it or do whatever. It just says you can have a job, perform well, gain confidence, gain skills, and then be ready for the market, you know, the work marketplace. And why not? Why shouldn't you?
What reactions do you get from students who come and do your internships about them? What do they gain from them?
There's so many, but the things that come to mind is confidence. It's the sense that you can do it and you can negotiate your disability. And you learn to decide how much you're going to tell people, how much you're not going to tell people, and it's all in your control. A skill set. I mean, they're proper jobs. These are not sort of licking envelope jobs. These are hard, you know, proper jobs which involve thinking, project management, coming up with ideas and seeing something through.
So if people are interested in finding out more about the programme or getting in touch for this round of application, how can they find out more?
Two main ways. First way is internet, which is direct page, and it's www.change100.co.uk. Instant link and an application form. If you have problems with that, you can call us on 0203 242 0400 and reception will put you through to the Change 100 programme and we can send you details in the post. And we can do it with Braille as well.
And if there are resources online, have you got anything that people can watch or listen to that might give them an insight into what they can expect if they were going to go forwards for it?
We do, actually. In fact, one of our Change 100 students from last year, called Natasha, who's at LSE doing philosophy, helped make an animation, but with a really good sound over it, of her talking about the problem she had thinking about work and disability and what she gained from Change 100.
Looking at more general employment of disabled people, do you think the government should or maybe could perhaps do more to provide an incentive to employers to consider disabled candidates?
I can tell you what Leonard Cheshire thinks. And Leonard Cheshire thinks it agrees with the government to some extent, which is that we want to lower the amount of disabled people who are employed. And so at the moment, I think the government's committed to trying getting 1 million more people, disabled people back into work. I think it's a tough one because we don't necessarily want to make people feel special by giving them, giving employers a special incentive. Mm-hmm. Disabled people are skilled and talented in their own rights. So I think it's important to find a balance between sort of government support and just making sure more employers understand. And I think that it is beginning to happen. I have to say more and more employers are taking on projects such as Change 100.
This kind of links into exactly what you were just saying, but how do you think the progress is going since Change 100 started in the last couple of years? Have you noticed much of a difference in how employers approach disability?
We certainly have more employers coming to us and asking to join our scheme, which is just fantastic. And I think more employers have confidence, even if they're not on a scheme, they're beginning to realise that there's this wealth of talent and skill out there and they just didn't clock it or didn't, catch it. I think it's slow, though, just so it becomes part of society rather than like a special thing.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to Insight Radio, Selena.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio. For more podcasts, check out insightradio.co.uk.